Blog Talk Radio.
Besides relationships and people that are just waiting for something better to come along.
Spoken like a cynic.
I'm not a cynic. I'm a realist.
Who are a realist masquerading as a cynic who is secretly an optimist.
Because of the way it was delivered.
How do you think a woman should put that to a man? How do you think that a woman should say to a man, this doesn't work for me? Or, you know, I'm not getting what I need from you.
Just so excited because tonight is the premiere of the Every Woman Talk Show. I am Natae, one of your co-hosts, and I am joined by a fantastic panel of women this evening. Uli, Signature, and Jackie, we're all sisters with different opinions. So for the next hour, we're going to talk about... Tuesday, February 18th, and once again, it's Ladies Night at the Every Woman Talk Show. I just want to start off by saying hello to our listeners out there. The Shadow Worlds family has listeners worldwide, and we just want to thank you so much for tuning in with us each week. I also want to say happy Black History Month, and regardless of the color of your skin, we have all benefited from Black History. And another thing, I want to say happy birthday to one of our girls online. We got Uli, Jackie, and Sig. I am Natae, one of your co-hosts for the evening. But is our birthday girl Jackie on the line tonight?
Hello, hello, hello.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Thank
How
you
doing,
guys
birthday girl?
So much. I am good. I am good.
Yes, yes. So have you been celebrating your day?
No, I went to work.
but hey, you know, you celebrate by going to work.
We tried.
I went to work. Yeah, we tried to get together, and it just didn't work out. I wound up working late, but it was okay. It was okay. You know what? Just to know that I'm loved, and I got so many well wishes, and you know, people I expected, people that I didn't expect, it meant a lot. So it was good. It was good.
All right. Is Sig on the line? No, Sig hasn't tuned in yet. Okay, so I guess Sig will join us in a minute. Well, ladies, how was your week? Did you have a good week?
So far, so good.
I'm
glad we didn't get that much snow today. You know, that little dusting was okay for me. Any more than that, I don't know.
You know what? I'm sure that was it. Whatever we had this morning, that was the end, right?
I'm hoping.
I'm betting no. I got it. I got a pool going at work that we get more snow. And my other pool that I have going on is that the snow that we have is not going to melt till April.
I can go with that one, definitely.
Yeah, but you know, I have to say I'm sick of it and try not to complain about it. So I just try to say, well, it's better than a tsunami. So you know. Hey, that's just kind of the best way I can look at it. But, ladies, I want to ask you, the Michael Dunn trial. We all saw that the verdicts come down in that trial. And during our Hot Topics session here, I just want to get your opinion on it. Uli, let's start with you. What do you think about it?
I didn't even watch it. I didn't watch it.
Okay.
I have a thing. For me, I don't like to read the news. I don't like to watch the news because everything in it is just negative and just horrible. And unless I have to do it, unless I have to know about it, I don't even get into it. I really don't.
Okay. What about you, Jackie?
This is going to come off really, really pessimistic, and I'm not a pessimistic person. I'm really, truly an optimist. I'm usually a rose-colored glasses kind of person. But I wasn't surprised. And I think that's just in light of what's been happening as of late, you know. And then if you just really kind of look back over the history of cases where, you know, unfortunately it's a racial issue where, you know, a Caucasian person has been accused of murder for an African-American person. This seems to be the norm. And you know, here especially, everything from whether it's a police officer to another individual on the street. And it's sad to think that, you know, our justice system doesn't work in the case of race. Now, the flip side of it all is, yeah, he got the other four counts, I believe it was, and he's still going to spend a very long time in prison, but it just seems as if that whole thing of actually putting a murder on someone for murdering an unarmed child, an unarmed young man in a situation just doesn't seem to stick, and I don't know the law, you know, in that regard, to know the semantics of the case. But just like everybody else, I'm getting what the media dishes out. And from what I get, though, I wasn't surprised. I wasn't surprised. Did I like it? No. But I was not surprised by it, not by it by any means.
And that's why I don't watch it, because you can pretty much see it unfolding right before your eyes. It's some, like Jackie said, it's something that we are prepared for because it's nothing new.
But, you know, it's Florida once again, and are we giving people permission to kill our kids or to kill our young men?
Well, I mean, what's any different than back in the slavery days? What's any different? The only difference now is they say we have equality. That's the only difference. They say we have it.
I think it's kind of a twofold issue. Part of it is, you know, unfortunately, a lot of people don't value African-American life, you know, because of the poor
people. We don't value our own life.
And that's the second part of it, as well as we don't value our own. So if we don't value our own, well, how are we going to make other people understand the validity of who we are? We are just like you at the end of the day. But see, also, too, the consequences for the crime have to be there as well. And as everyone pointed out, I believe it was a television personality said that had this been completely opposite, this would have been a completely different case.
Of course.
This would have been a very different case. And had a black male killed white child or a white young man like this, you know, and even gotten the same verdict, there would be such an uprising. There would be such, you know, it would be a very different thing. But we are classically known as a very forgiving group of people, and we'll get upset for a while, and then it'll die down. Because we'll move on to something else.
Sig is on the line, and Sig, we want to get your feedback on this as well. Sig is our resident attorney, and we just want to get your opinion. Sig, what do you think about the verdict and the jury being deadlocked on the first-degree murder verdict?
First, hi, Sig. How are you? Thank you.
You're welcome, sweetie. Happy birthday.
Oh, God, it was absolutely beautiful. You were about to make me cry, and you guys have to see what
I meant to do it this morning, but this morning got away from me, and I spent all day in classes and meetings. I was like, look, I've got to take the time out to do this happy birthday. Birthdays are a big deal for me.
Oh,
and
man.
I celebrate birthdays.
Beautiful.
Oh, birthdays are a big deal for me. I start letting y'all know like 3 months ahead of time.
Oh, I send out emails and text messages and flyers and everything. I remind you the day before, the morning of. Don't forget today. You got to tell me happy birthday. I don't need a gift. I just want to recognize
so
that I was born.
I'm so happy about my birthday.
Well, Jackie, tell everybody what they did.
A cake, and she posted it on Facebook, and it says "Happy Birthday, Jackie." And when I just saw it right before I tuned in, and it is absolutely beautiful. I was like, "Oh my God!" They're trying to make me cry, and I'm trying to dial it number.
Now, Fig, did you make the cake yourself?
No, I would have made her a cake and sent it to her, but I've had such a hectic week. I can actually bake, although I do want some sweet potatoes.
I got you.
Y'all.
But I figure it would be more fun when I see her in person.
Sick. See, it was beautiful. It was beautiful. And
Excuse me.
Go ahead.
Don't be trying to take my friend.
Wait a minute.
Don't be trying to play
a sister
out.
I'm going to tell you, like I told the girl today, if she your friend, there's nothing I can do about that.
But you're my baby too, Sig. You're my baby too.
I must say, now when your birthday comes around, don't say nothing.
Hello. We all want to get some. We got to share the love here. We all want to get some love now, right? We want us to share the love.
And we all
know.
No,
I don't told y'all before. I told y'all before. I'm jealous, territorial.
Oh,
all
yeah, that's right.
I already told y'all that.
That's okay. Thank you. I like being in the spotlight. Like I said, I'm usually low-key, but I loved it. Thank you. And my birthday comes at the beginning of the year, so I get the love first. So I really appreciate it. Thank you.
That's a good one. That's a good one.
I'm spoiled.
Yes,
I will admit it. I am the brat of the group. There is a two-year-old who lives inside of me, and when she saw that, she was like, oh, boy.
That's okay. So now, Sig, we do want to get your feedback, your point of view on the Michael Dunn verdict. So tell us what you're thinking about it.
I can't make a comment on that case at this time.
Okay. Well, I guess you have it there. That is a Sig's comment. Okay. All right. Well, moving on, you guys, anybody have any hot topic facts that they want to share with us? Any Black history facts at all that they want to share with us? Because I have one.
We do know that Malcolm X 50th, the death of his, it's been 50 years since he has passed. Are we aware that that's coming up?
Yes.
As a matter of fact, the guys on the Man Up Talk show on Friday, they're going
all in about Malcolm X.
Did you guys know that the guy who was accused of assassinating him is free?
Yes.
Wow.
He is free.
Wow.
He has been on a work release program for quite some time. A lot of people didn't know that he's out. He was in a halfway house and he was on a work release program, but he is now free. And
I wonder how he lived with that.
He took sole responsibility. He did take responsibility. But, that's always been a situation of controversy.
Absolutely.
Whether or not he was the fall guy and this was from somewhere else. So it would be interesting in his legacy if he were to really just kind of
tell
open
the truth
up about that. Right. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to say tell the truth. I'm just going to say open up about it.
Being a Muslim for over almost 30 years now, we've heard so many different things. And Elijah Muhammad, who Malcolm followed at that time, his son now is the legacy for the Muslim. He's a spokesperson for Muslims today. So Warf Dean, which was Elijah's youngest son then, is someone that we look up to, not follow, but look up to for the teaching of Allah. So, we've heard a little different, things here and there. And you'll never know the truth. Even if he tells us the truth, how do we know it's the truth?
Right.
Even if he tells us something different, how do we know it's the truth?
Yeah. That's true.
I just know from how it all went down, I can't believe that one person orchestrated it. That is just impossible. So you can take the fall all you want, but we know that you couldn't have done that alone.
And based on what, as one individual, what would motivate you to do that?
Something.
Not saying that it's not possible, but it just seems to have so much kind of around it, behind it. So it,
well,
it's
let me tell you something. His security was so tight that there was for one person to be able to get through. It was impossible. Impossible.
Mm-hmm.
So it had to be a numerous amount of people involved in this. Who?
Close to the breath.
Well, we don't
always close. So, yep. You know, that's the other thing. So, yeah, I'm hoping that, well, usually here in New York, they do something to commemorate. So
mm-hmm.
it'll
mm-hmm.
be interesting
yeah.
with this being the 50th year to see what they're going
yeah.
to do.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. Well, you guys, I want to remind everybody that the Relay for Life Cancer Awareness event is this Saturday, February 22nd at Science High School in Newark. Registration starts at 12:30, and the actual fashion show starts at 2. If you want more info, you can go to rflnewyorkfashionshow.weebly.com, or you can simply call 973-602-9133. Please support. They're asking for a $25 donation. It's a small fee, but it goes so far in cancer awareness. And also don't forget that the ladies are going to be participating in the Relay for Cancer event in June 14th at Shabazz
Woo-hoo.
High School in Newark. So, I mean, we're all going to be on the track. We're going to be running. We're going to be taking off, sprinting.
I am not going to be on the track. I'm going to be on the sideline eating my burgers and fries.
Well, she's going to have her burger and fry on the track. Sig is based in Atlanta, you guys, but she's coming up. She'll be on the track sprinting. Yes. So we're all there. We're all going to be there. So you can come and check us out and meet us. But we need your support. You can donate to the Every Woman Talk Show team by going to www.relayforlife.org. Enter our team name, the Every Woman Talk Show, and please make a donation to help support cancer awareness.
And
you
and
can
we
also...
We want to kick butt in the donations department. We need that.
Yes, that's all without saying. That's probably going to kick butt, right? Because you guys are going to help support us, right? Yes, our listeners, yes. We can't hear you, but we know you're saying yes. You can also support a Relay for Life event in your area. Check out their website and see how you can support your local area. So our topic tonight... It's February. It's still Black History Month, and our goal at the Every Woman Talk Show is to bring you Black history and American history all year long. So tonight we're talking about the Black Church, then, now, and the future, the role of the Black Church in the community, civil rights, social injustice, and we also want to talk about the Muslim role in the community. You know, Uli, our Muslim sister online, she's going to give us her perspective, the perspective on the Muslim community, and we also invite our Muslim listeners to call in. Our guest tonight is none other than Pastor Ron Christian from Christian Love Baptist Church in Irvington, New Jersey. He is also Jackie's pastor, so it's going to be an awesome show tonight. Jackie, your pastor, I mean, I was tuning in online at the website, and his sermons were just, they ministered
to me.
He's awesome.
Yes.
He is so real. And I tell people all the time, you know, if you are coming to look for prim and proper, don't come here. If you are coming to look for what you just need to hear, don't come here, because you're going to get what you need. You're going to get what you want to hear, but you're going to get what you need to hear. And, you know, and I'm not going to sit here and you know, just toot his horn or whatever, because I think when you're looking for any spiritual institution, it needs to be about teaching. And if you're not getting taught, if you're not being fed, then what's the sense of being there? And he does that. So I will definitely big up him for that.
All right, I'm about to give you an offer for that, Jackie. That was a word. That was a word.
Well, Ron is not my pastor, but he is an old, dear, dear, dear friend. And if I was not the Muslim sister I am, he would definitely be the pastor I would follow, because he is a realist.
Wow. Wow.
I was telling you, when I went there, you know, everybody was like, oh, Pastor Ron this, Pastor Ron that, Pastor Ron this. And I'm going to tell you, I said, well, dang, when I get here, is he going to walk on water? Because everybody spoke so highly of him. And I'm an individual where I'm like, okay, I need to know what your church is doing collectively, you know. And a lot of times as Christians, I don't even want to say Christians, just as looking for spiritual guidance, we will big up an individual as opposed to what it is that they're supposed to do. So, and I was just like, okay, you know, what's he going to do? But when I got there and I listened, and he clearly makes it not about him.
He's very politically involved. He is for the community. He's big up on community. And so that's the other thing about him that we love, that's endearing about him, that it's not just his church family that he is concerned about, but all.
And that's a perfect segue into our topic.
Yes, and we're going to hear from Pastor Ron himself when we come back from break. But we also want to hear from our listeners. So give us a call tonight at 646-478-4507. We are talking about the Black Church, their role in the community, then, now, and the future. We're going to go to break. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Shadow Radio. You are now rocking with New Jersey and New York's very own DJ Janet.
That's right.
You stayed around.
And you've been so good.
Welcome back to the Every Woman Talk Show. Again, I'm Nate. I'm your co-host, and I have Uli, Jackie, and Sig on the line. And tonight, our topic is the Black Church. And we're talking about the Black Church then, now, and the future, the role that the Black Church has played in the community, the role they are playing, and the future, where we're going. We have a guest tonight, Pastor Ron Christian. I just want to check and see if Pastor Ron is on the line. No, so we're going to come back to Pastor Ron. We're working on getting him on the line. But ladies, we're going to start. We're going to go in on our topic, the role of the Black Church, the history of the Black Church, long history. We all know that the, you know, Black Church started out as a pretty much the Negro Church, and we were brought over as slaves. We had our own religion, but we were brought over as slaves, and they converted us over to Christianity primarily, and so the Black Church has taken on a form from that point on. But what are your thoughts? How do you feel about the Black Church, the way they started, the way we are now, and where we're going?
Jackie, I'm going to start that conversation off. Let's hear your thoughts first this week.
You know what? I'm going to go to Jackie, actually. So, Jackie, I'm going to start with you. So thank you for that invite, Sig. I appreciate that. But, Jackie, we're going to start with you.
Originally, we all know that the Black Church or having the slaves back then to worship was twofold. It was one to convert them over to Christianity, you know, because a lot of the spiritual practices that were in, you know, that we practice in Africa were polytheistic. So then to kind of bring them over, get them to do what they wanted us to do. But also, too, if you go back and you read some things, it says that, you know, also, too, it was a way that they could kind of have us organized in one area. And then it was those churches back then were still headed by white clergy. So they were taught strict obedience. They were taught strict regimen that, you know, in order to get into heaven that you had to do this. But ironically, as much as it was supposed to be spiritual, it was also used as a guidance so that there would not be slave rebellion, there would not be slave uprising. But what was found was we were having church in the building that they were teaching us, but then we started having church on our own mm-hmm. in slave quarters. So mm-hmm. that's where we began to have hope and encouragement, because what they were teaching us was that in the eyes of God, everyone was created equal. So that gave hope and encouragement, and that's kind of where our hope kind of lied, that things were going to get better through the Black Church. And they started out in small little itty-bitty cabins and just kind of started to grow from there, and that's where the spiritual came from out in the field so that we could communicate and so that we could talk. But it was a sense of hope and encouragement that things would have to get better.
Are we still on?
Yes, we are. Hello?
Are we having some sort of technical difficulty?
Yeah, I think we had a technical difficulty. Jackie, were you finishing up, or you?
Yeah, I finished my point.
Okay. Well, without further ado, we do have our guest online, Pastor Ron mm-hmm. Christian from Christian Love Baptist Church in Irvington, New Jersey.
Pastor!
Yes.
We're glad to be here. glad to be with you guys tonight.
Oh, thank you, Ron. Thank you for calling in. You know I love you.
Thank you so much for joining us tonight, Pastor Ron.
Mm-hmm.
And just want to give our listeners a brief overview about the Christian Love Baptist Church. And, of course, you can add in depth. I'm sure you have a lot more to say. But just want to let everyone know that Christian Love has about 6,000 members, holds 4 worship services on Sunday and a midweek service on Wednesday night. They are definitely serving the community with a food and clothing pantry, after-school tutorial program, a daycare, provisions for preschool and kindergarten, hot meals for the homeless, domestic violence, counseling, employment opportunities, substance abuse counseling, and a list. But also to let you all know that Pastor Ron is a mentor, a father, a husband, and a friend, and he's also Jackie's pastor, as we said.
Whoop, whoop.
So once again, welcome, Pastor Ron.
God bless you. Glad to be here.
Thank you so much for calling, and we are so excited to have you. And Jackie has told us so many wonderful things. Jackie and Uli both have said quite a bit of few wonderful things about you. So,
well, I would tend to believe Jackie more than Uli.
Oh, don't do that.
Oh, okay.
You don't want to go there. You don't want to do that.
Okay. All right.
Not on the air, Roddy. Not on the air.
that's personal love. That's
well,
personal
see, Uli knows me BC before Christ, and Jackie knows
absolutely.
Me after Christ. So
absolutely.
That's right. Right.
I know you. I know you before, after, and during, and
that's
the middle
right.
and everything. We are family.
That's right. That's right.
See, that's beautiful.
So what are we talking about tonight?
We are. Our topic is the Black Church, and we're talking about the role of the Black Church in the community then, now, and future. So we want to talk about where the Black Church is now, where we're headed, what role we're playing in the community. Are we effective? Is our message reaching the community? You know, are we serving the community? What are we doing?
What is that we should be doing?
Well, I think that what we need to do is that we need to continue to be the center of community. You're talking about before people would choose where they would do their savings and loan or pick a dentist or a doctor, they would go to the church. The church was always the centrifuge or the center of a community. Mm. And somehow when people stopped depending on the church, they started depending on the government. And then when the government went awry under the Reaganomic years, it appears as though people were left without hope and without faith and without belief because they had walked away from the African-American church. But it is in our culture, it is in our ethnic upbringing to support our community in the Black church.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. All right. So now,
I think, yes.
No, go ahead. By all means, go ahead.
No, I think that it's not just the Black American. I think that the African American church, mm-hmm. as we do, we embrace the imams from the masjid. We embrace the Muslims, the Christians, the Jews. We have all that come to our church. And I think we need to be more ecumenical, more understanding, more moderate to understand other people's beliefs and views and not be disrespectful but be accommodating to them. Last year I buried 167 African-Americans under the age of 30 through gun or gang violence. And I was just speaking with the prosecutor and Senator Cory Booker about 15 minutes ago. About the year before that was 182 African-Americans. Some were 2 years old, were bullet wounds, and others were sometimes 4 caskets in front of the church at a time. And I think that that's something that we need to address. The church needs to be open and available and not charging great expense to these people that need help at one of the lowest points in their life.
Wow. But how do we, you know, you're mentioning you have the caskets lined up outside your church, so obviously there's something going on in the community. How, as a church, how do we speak? And as even the Muslim community, how are we speaking to that issue? How are we changing that?
Well, I think that, I know it sounds myopic, I know it sounds small, minuscule, but I think that we need to be better representatives in our community. Oftentimes, there was what we call white flight, but now we have black flight, where we get better and we move on. But I think that we need to move forward, but we also need to reach back and set examples in our community. The reason why people join the Bloods and the Crips and the Grapes and the Lietas and the Latin Kings is because these young men are looking for love and they're looking for compassion, they're looking for leadership, they're looking for mentors.
To belong to something.
And because of the absence of good African-American men leaders in our community, and people that love them in their community, they just gravitate or grab onto whatever type of love they can receive.
And I
think that a lot of times they don't realize that they can get that in the church. You know, that the same
right.
thing that they're looking for, they can get in the church. And, you know, they're like, oh, you know, you got to be this and you got to be that. And they
well,
don't
well, you know, that
right.
comes from the older, you know, churchgoers who were very strict on certain things. So they feel
right.
as though if they come, they're not going to be accepted for who they are. They're going to be judged for
right.
who they are. So that's why
right.
it's
right.
difficult for them to come as they are.
Right.
I agree with that because I think it's not just – I think that the church needs to do an outreach, and the outreach just needs to be transparency. You know, I mean, everyone knows my story. I mean, I was teaching college. I was in law enforcement, and then I went through 14 rehabs, 9 detoxes, sniffed 17 bags of heroin a day, smoked $2,100 worth of cocaine a day. I stole Uli's and Apple's money to get high with. So, I mean, so I think when you're transparent, and I'm not giving it back either, but I believe when you're transparent and people see you that you're transparent and you love and you reach out and you don't judge them when they walk through the door, you have a dress policy where if people want to dress, they can dress. If they don't, they don't.
Right.
I mean, you have to make people feel
welcome.
Well,
that's where they come as you are. You
yeah.
should come as you are.
But not
yeah,
a
but
lot of places.
Actually
you
mean
can't.
Come as you are. Yeah, a lot of times they say come as you are, but they want you to come as you are, but they don't want you to come high. They don't want you to come with your lover.
Right.
They don't want you to come
yeah,
gay.
But,
they don't
but
want,
if that's
yeah,
where
I mean,
you're
you
at
are,
in your
but
life.
Come as you are clean. Yeah.
But if that's where you are in your life, if that's where you are,
right.
that's when you need
right.
the help. So you
yeah.
can't tell me to come
right.
when it's good for you. I gotta come when it's good for me. So if I step foot in
I
that
agree.
Door, I'm asking for help.
Right.
I agree.
But see, I think in older church, that's where everybody messed up at.
Yes.
They always say, they forget that come as you are is come as you are in Christ. Because if I
right.
didn't need his help, I wouldn't need to come at all.
Amen. All
that's
the
right.
time.
Uh-huh.
And a lot of
uh-huh.
people get that holier than thou moment. And
uh-huh.
they want to act like I'm better than you, and oh my God, if you don't do things my way, then oh, you know, you need to do this. You need to cross this
uh-huh.
T and dot this I. And that's
right.
where you were saying, Pastor, about people accepting people for who they are. If you truly
right.
have no respect of anybody, you accept them as they are. You
right.
don't try to change them. You don't try to make them into you. You let everybody be them because we are all individuals. We are loved by
exactly.
our higher being as that individual.
That's right.
I don't have to be like Uli. Although I admit I'm more like her than I thought, in order to hang out with her, okay?
Right.
And so, and that's part of the problem that I see with the church today and before, because, like, now you have the older church people judging the newer churches, and
uh-huh.
it's causing a divide in the community.
And
well, I
right.
think you're going to have, I think you have that all around the board, even in an Islamic community. You know, we're very divided in a certain way. So, you know, the funniest thing for me was, you know, understanding Pastor Ron when he became the minister there, the pastor there, and I'm like, Roddy, you got to be kidding me. But
right.
what opened my heart to him was the fact that there were just not Christians going in that church. Everybody going in that church. And me being a Muslim, I'm like, well, what the hell are you doing sitting up in Roddy's church? Because he is not teaching you what he is. The word is the word. The word is the word. Doesn't matter how you get it. The word is the word.
And that's
you know,
I was in
the Middle East. I made Salat all over the world. I've actually, the Lord has blessed me to transverse the world 4 times. And the Hadith says, whenever you make prayer with righteous men, you smell like a
mm-hmm.
rose garden.
Mm-hmm.
And when you make walking with unrighteous men, you smell like a cesspool.
I mean,
so
mm-hmm.
one of the imams told me, says, to you be your way and let God separate us in the end.
Absolutely.
So I think we have to be open-minded. That's why we're able to have Christians, because for me it's Abraham, for you it's Ibrahim, for me it's Moses, for you
it's
Musa, for me it's Jesus. For me it's Noah,
same.
For you it's Noah. Right? I mean, you go back, all of our grandfathers,
mm-hmm.
Abraham. And I think there needs to be less judgment in our community
mm-hmm.
on you know, what your belief is, what your goal is, whether you're gay,
exactly.
whether you're straight, whether you're married, whether you got a child out of wedlock. Because really,
exactly.
all of us are dealing with our own personal issues that we have to deal with every day. And we need a support system around us to help build us up, not tear us down. We don't need to go into a system that has rules that we have to jump to and move to. We need to be – we're coming to where our faith is. We're coming to these places because we need healing and we need wholeness and we need love
and we have enough rules.
Compassion.
And we have enough rules to
go rules
by
in the
every
world.
Day. Yeah, right.
Yeah,
right.
But see, the thing, okay, like I'm Baptist, not Southern Baptist. No, that's not me. But I don't believe, there's some things I don't believe in, but I'm not mocking everybody else for that. I can't step
like
foot in
like
church
what?
With
like,
pants on.
For instance, what?
I won't step
like
foot
what?
In church
like
with
what?
Pants on. I don't think women should preach behind the pulpit. That's just me.
Okay, well, let me ask you a question.
I'm so confused with the difference between Baptist and Christian. See, I really don't know.
But let me ask you a question. Who am I speaking with the pants question?
This is
Sig. That's Sig.
Okay, let me ask you a question. Do you realize, you know what the word gospel means?
You're going to tell me.
Gospel means good news. It means good news.
Right.
Gospel means good news. And to preach, we are called to preach the gospel, which is the good news. The good news is not Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The good news is that Jesus got up from the grave. The good news was not on Friday when he was crucified. Good news is not when he was beat. The good news was when he was resurrected, right?
Exactly.
So when we begin to talk about women behind the pulpit, the first person that was called to preach was Mary, because Jesus said to Mary, go tell my disciples that I have risen.
Mm-hmm.
So when we say we don't think women should preach behind the pulpit, Jesus himself told Mary, the first preacher,
the
to
word.
Go tell my disciples that I've risen. And I don't think God is a respecter of persons. And I know that because when we find Balak and Barak, when he told it how to open the donkey's mouth. And me, if a gay person, a straight person, a woman, a man, anyone that can give me a word that is life-changing, life-altering, I want to hear it. So when we begin to become judgmental and say, I don't think women should preach behind the pulpit, the Bible also says, because the Bible functions by cultural principles and eternal principles. Cultural principles are those principles that function on the culture of the time. When Jesus said, Paul
of
said, if you don't understand, right, of the time, he said, if you don't understand, go home and ask your husband. Women shouldn't talk in church. But now, how many sisters actually got husbands at home that come with them to church that they can ask for explanation?
You better go ahead.
So that means they would come to church ignorant and then go home and be ignorant. So it's true in so many different cultures, because I think that their cultural principles, like I've been in the Middle East and I've studied in the Middle East, and they're not walking around with all of this olive oil on and all of this smelling oil on, and, you know, you hug them one time, you smell a certain way all day.
Absolutely.
All the way to the ground. They're walking around in jeans and regular clothes, so it doesn't make you more Islamic.
But they think, but see, and that's the funny thing. That's the funny thing, Pastor Ron. They feel as though they're taking the culture from the Middle East and confusing it with the religion.
Exactly.
Different things.
Right. Exactly.
Man,
all you know, and that's the same thing with Christians,
Pastor Ron,
because
you know me, I could not be no Muslim if it was that kind of culture.
Right. and this is my question. It's like if you were in on the operating room, because every time a pastor or a minister gets up behind that pulpit, it's spiritual surgery. Because you're doing something to someone's soul and spirit, which you can't play with. The Bible says, be not quick to all be teachers, for you have a stricter judgment. Now, if I'm laying on a bed, and I've been laying on many a sick bed and many a bed with a lot of surgeries, and they come and they says, here's a woman surgeon who's done 39 of these operations, but here's a man surgeon, and this is his first time.
Who do you
I'm
want
not
to do your surgery?
Who do you want to do your surgery?
He got doing my surgery and what I personally believe is two different things as far as
No.
Like I said,
No.
It's me.
No, because whoever speaks for the word from the pulpit is speaking into your spirit. The Bible says he calls men and pastors after his own heart. So your spirit is more important than your body, because when your body dies, your spirit will still live.
but it's personal conviction. It's my personal thing. That's what I'm saying. You see what I'm saying? It's me personally.
It's what she's been taught.
But where does it derive from?
But you know what? That's just like, I know you guys have heard the story, but it's like the lady who every time she gets ready to cook her Thanksgiving dinner, she cuts the back off the turkey and then she puts it in the oven. And for 20 years she's with her husband. Her husband says, why do you do that? He says, because Mama always did it. And he said, call your mother. And he says, Mom, why do we cut the back off the turkey? And she says, I don't know. My mother always did it. Mm-hmm. And then she said, well, call your grandma. Call your grandma. And then she said, girl, I cut the back off the turkey because we had a small stove. You know,
it's become tradition.
Had to do with the back of the turkey. They just couldn't fit it in. So now that we've grown and we've been awakened and we've been advised and we see more spiritual principles, we can't keep cutting the back off the turkey when you have a larger oven in order to cook with. You cannot tell me that Paula White, you cannot tell me that Zachary Tim's wife. You can't tell me that these
part of the problem in the black church. Everybody wants everybody to do things their way. You can believe what you want to believe. I'm not saying there are not great women pastors out there. I'm saying I don't think women should preach behind pulpit.
Okay.
Because why?
Let me say this to you. This is going to be more than one segment with Sig. So you ain't going to make her change her mind in this little hour and a half segment.
It's not about It's not about making me change my mind. And I know where he's going with it. There's nothing you're going to say, Uli's right, that's going to make me change my mind. But you're helping me to make my point. It doesn't matter what everybody else is going to do and what everybody else is thinking. I'm just going to be me. And what I think and the way I do things is just for me. It didn't come from my grandmother and my mother saying there should be no women behind the pulpit. This is my personal observation.
But it did come from your family upbringing, though, Sig. If your family is
Baptist. No, I have female pastors in my doggone family, believe me. Okay. We have this conversation all the time.
But, Pastor,
what?
I wish you would agree that there's ministry for everyone.
What I'm saying is my thoughts and my beliefs are different. I have nothing to do with what everybody else thinks or what everybody else believes or the way everybody else wants to worship. That's fine. But as soon as I say something like that, or I say I'm not setting foot in a church with pants on, I won't do it. Not because that's the way
I
was raised.
And I respect that.
I'm uncomfortable with it.
I understand that. And I respect
that you can respect, but the fact that I don't want a woman preaching at me behind the pulpit, that's a problem?
I can respect that, too. No. You're an individual.
I respect your
individual views. I accommodate and I respect your views because God is a God of love. So I don't disrespect any of your views. I just ask the question, why?
Mm.
Yeah, but, I mean, could you share that? I have my bachelor's degree. I got like 3 master's degrees in Harvard trained. So I'm just trying to understand why. You just
where
get this personal view
from?
Without
where?
Any information to back it up.
Because we
but,
all
so
have
I want to know why. Because maybe you can change my opinion.
No, I'm not trying to change anybody's opinion. I don't want anybody to change anybody to think the way I think. It's just me. Just me.
Okay, but I understand that. But it has to be, in order to have a hypothesis, an educated guess,
you may not
it has
get an
to
answer
have a basis.
That's wrong. You may not get an answer.
Yeah, but I'm saying it has to be a basis of that. That has to be a basis why a person feels that way. That's all I'm asking is, why do you feel that way?
If it's your personal opinion, why is it so strong? Why do you feel so strongly about it?
Right.
Or not necessarily why, but where does it derive from? Where does it come from? Because we all have values, opinions, morals, whatever you want to call them, and they derive from somewhere or something. And it's not that they're right. It's not that they're wrong. They are what they are for you. It's just that they come from. There's a root for everything. And I think that's what he's trying to get at is where does that come from? And it's,
the
you
fact
know,
that
it's,
where does that come from, I'm not going to say on the air. The fact that where does that come from
perfect.
Is not my point. My point is, why is it a question? What does it matter? It's just my belief.
Okay.
Oh, no.
She asked a valid question. I want to tell her why.
Absolutely.
Because after I was pastoring about 3 years, I came to my 8 o'clock service and it was jam packed. It was like 500, 700 people, and like 80% of them were gay. And I was blown away. So I walked back to the study, and I told my dad, this was early in my ministry, I said, Dad, I have to tell them the truth to save their souls. I can't tell them that this is the right way to live. I have to tell them. And my father said, you've always preached love. Continue to preach love. God loves every creature. Don't dog someone out or judge someone, because only God can judge people. Just preach the way you always preach. Don't talk about Adam and – there's no Adam and Steve. There's Adam and Eve. Just love everyone, because love never fails. So my premise that I was very dogmatic about, I was very stern about, it was toppled and it was turned because a different reality came my way. So I just think that we should always be open to information. And I just said why I changed my mind. So I don't know, you know, where the basis of your premise comes from.
Oh, okay.
But,
understand.
You know, we could talk
about
the black kids dying in the street.
The good thing is that there's a ministry that speaks to everyone, that ministers to everyone. If Sig doesn't believe women should pastor, there's a church or ministry that speaks to her. For people that want to wear stockings or don't want to wear stockings and all that type of stuff, that want to dress up, dress down, the great thing is that there is a ministry out there that ministers to everybody, so everybody can be taught and ministered to somewhere. And that's a beautiful thing. And Pastor Ron, what I like that what you said is that you shared some of your background and how you was ripping Uli off and stuff, and
But she ripped me off since then, so
I'm sure she did. I'm sure she did. But the fact that gone through something, you've gone through something, and I want to hear from somebody that has lived something, that has gone through something. If you have been good and great all your life, that's beautiful.
I don't think that's reality.
But, some people don't share it. And I like that you share it openly, Pastor Ron, because I can relate to you. If you ain't never messed up, never fallen, never had attitude, never cussed nobody, nothing, then how effective are you? How many people relate to you?
Well, I think some of the best leaders now, I think, are better now when you're transparent. I mean, because we're serving a community. We're serving people who have gone through things. And just by the virtue of that you're a pastor, just by the virtue of you're a community leader, just by the virtue of that you're a government official, a senator or a congressman, people automatically believe that you've lived a certain life and you're talking down to them. But when you are able to let them know where you came from and what you've been through, then, it allows them to see that whatever they're going through and whatever they've been through, that
it's
they can also
bad.
Come out of it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it sets an example. Mm-hmm.
Is there such a thing to you as too much transparency?
I don't think so.
Say that again?
Is there such a thing as just too much transparency? Some people are sharing way too much.
Well, if you're telling your personal bedroom stories, that's a little bit too much. So if you're telling the story about where you came from and where you are, I think it's necessary.
Okay, so is that a statement or a question?
It's a question. I'm asking you.
Because
you
just
honestly
said you
believe
think that's too much.
I said, is there such a thing? Do you feel there's such a thing as too much transparency?
I really think, honestly, it depends on the crowd. Because I think that if you are talking to a group of women and you are a married woman, you need to tell them how much better making love to your husband is in the covenant of marriage than how you felt when you were sleeping around and you weren't married.
Right.
If you're a woman talking to women that are going through and you talk about how you went through and how you slept around with people until you met your husband and now it's so much better. If you're a man and you're talking about how you used to cheat, but then you devoted all of your time to your wife and it became better when you put all the other obstacles out the way, I don't think there's too much transparency because Jesus was completely transparent. And I think we should all follow the teachings of Jesus. Jesus talked all about himself. He talked all about his trials. Paul said that everything I've learned I counted as dung, which is mess. Paul talked about everything I learned means nothing. So, Paul was very transparent in all of his epistles, two-thirds of the New Testament. So you can say there's too much transparency, But at what point is too much when you're going to save a soul?
If you are saving a soul. And on the topic of transparency, the TV show Pastors of L.A., what do you think about that? Because you're being transparent. But
I can tell you exactly what I think about that. I really can't tell you what I think about that because I didn't watch it.
Me either.
Okay. Neither have I. Okay. Well, what do you think of the concept of pastors going on reality TV?
Well, let me just say this. Where that whole concept, Pastors of L.A., came from, it came out of my office, actually.
No. Okay.
Right.
Wow, okay.
What happened was they were negotiating with me to follow me around and do what was called anointed. And I had Binky and this other guy with me in the study. But they wanted to shoot the flashier side. I wanted to show pastors, imams, and rabbis what they do, how they get up 4 o'clock in the morning, they go visit the sick, they bury the dead, they do a wedding, and an hour later they got to do a funeral. They go up and down to show how you go up and down as a pastor, up and down, up and down, up and down, and all the things you have to do, how late you get in, to show more respect for the people that stand in front of you, knowing that that person is not just there on Sunday or Friday or Saturday, but what they do all during the week. I wanted to add a different level of respect for the pastor. But it wasn't flashy enough, so
it's not Hollywood.
They decided, right.
It's not Hollywood. It doesn't sell. Who cares what you guys do all week long?
Right.
Yeah.
So,
you know,
so
it's crazy.
It's
crazy because they are going around now talking about Dr. King.
Right.
He was his infidelities and his this. First of all, that man was a man. Period.
Right.
Whatever he did with his wife, that's between the two of them. Whatever she dealt with, accepted, didn't beat him upside the head with a pan at night, that's between them. That has nothing to do with who that man was and what that man did for us.
And I think it might sound bad, but you know what? You got to hear this out. It might sound bad. You know, maybe people don't want to accept it because of leaders. But I think people should stay out of people's business.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yes, yes.
Absolutely. Stay out
my business.
Stay out their business. And I have husbands and wives that go to the church. I'll go visit. If the wife is home by herself, I will not go in the house. Mm-hmm. And I will not let a wife vent to me. I will not let a husband vent to me. I don't get involved unless they ask me or they come for counseling. I don't get involved in judging what this is and that is. Because you know what? If they don't want help, I just stay out of their business.
Being judgmental to me is what's going to cripple the church. We have so many other forces on the outside trying to cripple the church, but then we have so much inside with being antagonistic towards each other and judging each other.
That's every religion.
You know, and to me, that's what's crippling.
You know, it's funny.
Well,
I
can't speak to that because I know that the church I pastor, we don't judge each other. We're transparent. We love everyone that comes in. So I can't speak to what other people might do, but we don't do that. If you wear pants in church, we don't kick you out. If a woman preaches, we don't get up and walk out. So we're not judgmental and critical of anyone.
Well, but people are not walking out if you got pants on or something. I hope not. But, Pastor, I have a question for you. As far as you're ministering to the young people, I don't know how many of us, you know, grew up in churches, raised in church, but I know growing up, grew up Pentecostal Church of God in Christ, and I didn't always feel like they ministered to me. It was a lot of, you know, I heard a voice and running around and stuff, and I'm grateful that my mom took us because that planted the seed.
Right.
But when I got old enough, I left, and I vowed I was never going back. I'm back, but I vowed I was never going back. So at some point, we lose our young people. You know, so how would you speak to that? What are we doing wrong that we're losing our young people? And what do we do to keep them, when they go off to college, to keep them interested, to keep them in relationship, and not just make it a chore, but, you know, to keep that relationship alive and active?
I can only speak scriptural. The Bible says, train a child in the way he shall go, and later on he shall not depart from it. So the reality is that the reason why you came back is because you were trained as a child in the faith. Even though you vowed not to, the reality is you were trained that way. So we have to train our children in the way they should go. And even though they make mistakes, they'll still come back. They need the seed planted. The Bible says one man plants, one man waters, and God gives the increase. So our job is to plant into water and allow God to give the increase.
Okay.
Okay, I have a question.
Yes.
There's a certain pastor that's going to kill me, but he'll be all right. I've heard conversation, and this is not the first show I've done on this, and I've had conversations with different people and different pastors of different denominations about how churches, your mega churches, have grown to the point where they're not a church anymore, they're a corporation.
Do you know what a mega church is? What signifies a mega church?
What?
Okay, like doesn't matter.
Anything over 1,500 members is a mega church.
Okay, I'm talking about the churches that you guys know what I'm talking about. I mean,
the big on TV,
the churches that have really
but what I'm saying is any church that's over 1,500 is a mega church. Okay. So what's the question?
What's your question?
She withdraws her question. Okay. Well, I'll continue on that. The mega churches, a lot of them are so huge that you cannot actually, there's no one-on-one. You can't really get to the, some people will say you can't really get to the pastor unless you're maybe serving on a ministerial team or something like that. It's kind of, some people would say that it's lost its effectiveness, whereas the smaller churches, it's more family, it's more community oriented. What's your view on that?
My view is that the church always reflects the spirit of the pastor.
Well, yeah. So what happens is whatever the spirit of the pastor is, it should trickle down through all the
right. I mean, because listen, I mean, I preach, like, we have four services. I preach the 8 and the 11. I have a Wednesday service. Sometimes I'm sick, sometimes I'm ill, but I still see everyone that waits outside of my office every single Sunday, every Wednesday.
Well, let me tell you how I felt this week when I called your church. Jackie,
okay.
Right, Jackie? So
I went straight in the office, so.
Here's the thing. Honestly, Ron and I have been friends for maybe 100 years, seriously.
Right.
So knowing that, when we said we were going to do this topic, the first person that came to my mind was you. A couple of reasons. Because we've been friends for forever, also because you're such a realist. That was the most important thing for me. But when I called some friends of ours. I need Roddy's number. Everybody gave me wrong numbers. I'm like, okay, forget it. Let me call the church. So when I called the church, I left a message for him on an answering service. He called me back 10 minutes later. What he said to me was, call my secretary and talk to her. So I said, okay. So when I hung up with him, I texted Jackie. I said, call me right now because your damn pastor get on my damn nerves. So she calls me. She says, Uli, why are you taking it so personal? He does everything because he needs to have a guideline on how he does everything, where he needs to be. I was like, fuck that. He's my brother. I don't need to call the damn parents. I'm talking to him. But as I thought, as Jackie talked me down, and as she talked to me, I got it, and I understood. You have so much going on in your plate. It's not that you don't love me. Not that you didn't want to listen to me. I could tell you something today. Tomorrow you may forget it. So Karen is your... And I'm okay now.
Right.
But believe
well, see,
me, I was about to come punch you in the face.
But, Oli, you know what happened? No. You know what happens? I used to... What happened was I had to do it because I used to double book. People call me and say, listen, can you do a funeral at 10 o'clock? I'll be like, okay, sure. Can you do a wedding 10 o'clock? Somebody else, sure. And then I have a wedding and a funeral at the same time. So I had to become more of a manager. I'm not good at managing. So what I did was I put it in someone's hands that could, so they need to manage my schedule.
That's exactly what I said.
But I was still going to come punch you in the face, so just to let you know.
Oh, that's okay.
That's love. You guys have to put it out there. We have Jamisha from Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, online. Go ahead, Pastor Ron. Go ahead.
No, so I think that I don't want to, I was in what's my sister's name that just asked the mega question?
Fig.
I can't hear it.
Fig, F-I-G, Fig.
Fig, check this out, right? This is what I did. I had a real struggle and a real issue with a particular church that I went to, I was going to. And it was a woman's church that only had women in it, and they were men bashing every time and men hating. And every time I try to put her in good positions with people, she would always turn around, no, I'm not ready, I don't want to do that, I don't want to do that. But there was men bashing. The sermons were all men bashing. You know, I don't need God, I don't need a man, I got Jesus, he's my lover, you know, that type of situation. Mm-hmm. And I was like, yo, and I became very, very, very upset about that. And God said, spoke to my heart, and God says, no, you have to understand that my daughter ended up going to that church when she came out of a situation. And God spoke to my heart and said, you know, what you have to understand is I set different ministries for different people. And even though you might not understand it, if someone's going there, it's better for them to go there than to go nowhere.
Nowhere.
So, right. So there's people that are going to the mega church, whether it's Joel Olson or whether it's the T.D. Jakes or it's the Creflo Dollar. They appear to be satisfied for their personal decisions the same way you are about the pants and the preaching. That's their personal choice. They could go to a small church if they choose to, but that's what they choose to do.
And it's something for everybody. There's a ministry.
Wait a minute. That wasn't what my mega question was.
He was talking about it becoming a corporation.
I think everybody needs to go where they're comfortable, where they need to be fed. I have nothing against the mega churches. I belong to one.
Right.
Huge mega church. I don't have a problem.
So
I don't have a
question?
Problem getting to my pastor. It's
what's
been
your question?
Said that the church, I want to get back to the true topic. The churches have become corporations.
Okay.
As opposed to being churches. Your thoughts.
Okay. You want to know my feelings about that?
Mm-hmm.
I think that is 100% perfect.
Why?
Because if I have to deal with a business and a corporation, I'd rather be run by holy people, righteous people, anointed people than the secular world. Because if the church owns the projects, housing projects on my left, if they own the supermarket on my right, they own the haircut store, the barbershop over there, that's fine. Because I think that the church should grow and prosper, and everything that comes back in the church is going to bless the people. So,
okay, I agree with that,
but
I'm talking about the church itself, not what the church is doing for the community, because each church sitting in the community needs to be giving back and feeding that community. I believe in that.
That's right.
I'm talking about the church
right.
itself. Within the body of the church is a corporation.
But
well,
how do you mean, like,
but you, it has to be a business, then. If you're doing all these things and you are incorporating all
right.
these things into your church, it is a business.
Right.
So is it two sides?
Should it be
church?
A church running? Should it be a church with their businesses, and you still have your church that's your cornerstone, that's your foundation, that's your rock? Or
no, I mean, are you talking about an individual?
Or
are you talking about the church?
She's talking about the church. What she's saying is that many people now view churches as corporations. They're not churches. A lot of them may not be doing the things that, you know, old churches used to do, that now they're strictly corporations, and that's kind of how they're run. They may not, and see, correct me if I'm wrong, maybe they're not doing outreach, or maybe they're just run more corporately than they are spiritually. Is that what you're saying?
Exactly.
Okay.
That's it.
Okay. But I think that goes back to the first response. The first response is those persons that belong to that church know or should know what the pastor and or the church is involved in. And if they do and they still choose to go, that's their personal choice and decision, right?
And before you even join, you should know that, right?
Right.
Right. You guys, I have Jamisha from Bethlehem, Pennsylvania on the line. We got to get her in. She's been holding. Hi, Jamisha. Thank you for calling the Every Woman Talk Show.
Hi, ladies. How are you tonight?
Hi,
Jamisha.
There's a gentleman on the phone also.
I said in hello to the pastor. How are you?
Pastor Ron on the line.
Bless
Jamisha,
you.
What's your question?
How are you? Well, it's a question, but also just a question, but also a little bit of a statement as well. It's for the pastor. Pastor, I came up in the so-called black church, as it's stated, but just you know, through my own experiences, I kind of, the older that I got, and I was able to kind of pick and choose after, you know, going to church with parents and such as I grew up, I kind of clung to the non-denominational sector of church. And this kind of more of, you know, mixed church, mixed crowd, all kinds, and just,
right.
you know, not so many rules and regulations, and
yeah.
just come as you are, you know,
right.
just loving Christ and all of that. I think sometimes, and this is also my statement part of it, sometimes we get so caught up with, is it a black church, is it a white church? In my opinion,
right.
it's just the body of Christ. It's just the body of
right.
Christ. And so
right.
I think we kind of sometimes need to knock down those walls, the Pentecostal, Baptist, this, that, and the other. It's the body of Christ. At the end of the day, we're trying to all save souls. I mean, I think that's what most pastors are trying
totally
to save
agree.
Souls and, you know, and get everybody, you know, to heaven. That should be the main goal. And sometimes we get so caught up in, you know, my church and you know, my pastors, everybody thinks their pastor is the best and all of this and all of that. And it's just, I think that for
Ryan
me,
is
and
best.
This is just my opinion, I just got kind of turned off from like all the rules, regulations, and this and that, and you know, you have to
but
have
you're,
a big
but you're, but you're saying but you're saying exactly what I said.
Mhm. Yeah. I just wanted to call in, and I enjoyed listening to you guys tonight.
Thank
but
you.
I just, you know, thank you so much. I just wanted to call in and thank you for letting me speak. Have a good night.
No. Hi. Hello. Did she hang up? She hung up already?
Jamisha? I think she hung up already. But
see,
you know, Pastor
Mark, that's
exactly what we said.
Yeah. Too many rules.
But even,
right.
okay, since we're talking about the church being run like a business, every business or corporation has rules. I'm not, you know, saying I love the rules and of the church, but every business and corporation has rules that it must be, you know,
but
that
your rules,
by.
But the rules don't apply
to your
people coming in to hear your word. The rules apply to how
right.
you run your church. What needs,
right.
what time we got to open up the doors, what time the doors close, is the light bill
right.
paid. Those are the rules. The rules
right.
do not apply to you can't wear that shirt in here because that's the color red. Those are rules that we don't want. Those are the things that break down the churches when we make these people feel unwanted. That's the rules we don't want.
Oh,
right.
I totally agree. I know growing up going to church, I had to wear stockings. I had to wear a long skirt or else they would throw in the lap cloth.
Well, you don't wear them no more.
No, I don't. No, I don't. And matter of fact, I don't even want to look at a pair of stockings, couldn't wear the earrings and couldn't wear the makeup, you know, all that type of stuff. But what about the gospel, just the gospel, the good news of Christ versus the prosperity gospel? You know, a lot of churches, it's, you know, how you know, name it and claim it and how you get this and how you get that, and we got a jet. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with prosperity. We all want to prosper. But
right.
the gospel, the good news of Christ versus the prosperity gospel. What's your opinion on that?
My opinion?
Mm-hmm.
Well, the Bible says that he wants you to prosper so as your soul prospers and be in good health. So God wants his people to prosper, but prosperity means different things. Prosperity means to have good health, to have good relationships, to have a good mental status, to have a good work environment, to have a good educational background. So when you talk about prosperity, because I know many people that are extremely wealthy, but they're miserable.
Mm.
I know a lot of people that have a lot of property, and they're miserable. I know people that are in a marriage, they have a husband or a wife, and they're miserable. So I think when we look at prosperity, we have to define what is prosperity, because true prosperity is not just about money. Prosperity is about the word, when you say assalamu alaikum, and you say shalom, and you say peace, that means nothing missing and nothing broken. When you say peace be unto you, that means
right.
there's nothing missing and nothing broken. So you need to have the total person. Your mind needs to be right. Your relationships need to be right. Your finances need to be right. Where you're going needs to be right. Your focus needs to be right. And I think so often people think that money will make you happy, and money does not make a person happy. If that was the case, we've got my beloved brother and dear friend, Zachary Timms. He had money, he had a church, he had this, he had that, but they found him dead in a hotel room. So, I mean, you look at JFK's or the Kennedy's kid, he died with a needle in his arm in some slum in Harlem. You look at the actor that just died that played Truman Capote. He died in his bathroom in his underwear with a needle in his arm.
Mm-hmm.
And these are people that have millions of dollars, but were they truly prosperous?
So on that note, being accountable, we know Pastor Tim's and all these other people, being a pastor, it's hard to even be naked and vulnerable with someone. Now, you should be able to be that way with your spouse or with, you know, maybe the elders or deacons of the church, but you have to have somebody that you can just be yourself and that you can, you know, be naked and be vulnerable and be open. Who is that for you?
I'm negotiating that as we speak. I think what I did because of what I went through in my life is that I've learned that my old friends that knew me before everything, I went back to a lot of them, but a lot of those had their own, I guess, uses and suggestions for me, and I can't hang out with new friends. So I just wait and ask God for direction, and he places people in my life that I can speak to and I can counsel with. Like now, from this call, I'm at Professor Bosman's house, David Bosman, who is a professor at Seton Hall University, and I'm here with him, and he's someone that's a confidant. He's someone that I depend on, someone, a mentor to me in so many different ways. So I think you need to really research and find out what level of transparency you could have with people. And I think the Holy Spirit will lead you into that.
He will, definitely. You just, but it's also, we have to be responsible for actually following through with that.
But you know what they say in the hood, right? In the hood, I'm not sure if everyone on the radio is listening to the hood, but in the hood they say everything ain't for everybody.
Word.
And that goes back for our sister with transparency, because the bottom line is, there's some people you just can't be transparent with, because they'll take what you give them
and
use it the wrong way. That's why the Bible
judgment
says, cast not your pearls into swine. Yeah. And they'll take the little things you say. Oh, I don't want to go to church because that boy said he was on drugs. I don't want to go to church because they got gay people. You know, but I think you need to be very, very careful, extremely careful who you let in your inner circles.
Who did you say you were with right now?
Professor David Bosman.
Well, you tell Professor Bosman we're going to need him one night, too.
Well, hold on. I'll let you tell him yourself. Hold on for a second.
You guys, and
hello.
Hello, Professor Bosman.
Hello.
Hello, this is David Bosman.
And you are a professor in what field?
In Jewish Christian Studies at Seton Hall University.
Okay, so
we're going to
ask you to come on one of our shows as well, so we'll get your information from Pastor Ron if that's okay with you.
Sure, that's fine.
Thank you
so much for the commitment.
Good job, Uli.
Jackie, what were you trying to say when Pastor Ron was passing the phone?
Well, I was going to say, to kind of make our circle here before we run out of time, is, you know, we wanted to kind of do a comparison of where the black church used to be in reference to maybe during slavery, maybe during civil rights, and the importance of the church now. Is that same relevance still there? You know, because our black churches is where we did voter registration. Our black churches is where we did organization to try to do marches, to try to do protests.
Well, that's what Pastor Ron said. The government took over all of that.
It's important that we take it back, that we put it back in the black churches, and that we reach people on their level to get them to come to church, especially our black men.
Because my thing is this, in church, we are told, yo, we're doing a voter registration job. We are told somebody's going to be here from the county to give you guys some assistance. Like right now, we have a college program that's going on. You know, so these are the things that I can honestly say at my church are going on. But as a rule of thumb, that kind of used to be what the church did. And, you know, we encouraged and we helped people to kind of get to a point of, you know, wanting to get out there and vote, to organize marches, to organize protests, to be able to come out and vent our issues. Is the church still doing that very same thing? I can only speak for mine, but on a whole, is that still that same role?
Of course
that you're
not.
Had?
No, of course not.
Well, you
guys, the whole society has changed.
Well, we got to save that final thought for closing thoughts, but you know, it's time for closing thoughts now. And Uli, we're going to start with you. We're going to throw it to Jackie, and then to Sig, and then finally we'll have Pastor Ron give closing thoughts on tonight's topic. So Uli, you want to start?
Well, my thoughts, like I said before, I'm not big on church because my family wasn't big on church, but I'm a spiritual person, and I am a Muslim. But if we're talking about the church from the civil rights days, I think we were all about community then. Somewhere down the line, we forgot our community. I think we are picking that back up now. I just think we need to put a little more force in it.
Okay, good point. Jackie?
I agree.
For me, I'm blessed enough to be in a church where those are the things that we still do. And I'm very grateful for the pastor that we have there and what the people in my church do. I think as a whole, though, there are a lot of churches in our community that don't necessarily reach out and do the things that they used to do because those are the same things that we still need. Our needs haven't necessarily changed. You know, the times have changed, but the need is still there. And I would like to see a lot of other churches reach out and do those same things to incorporate community. If you're going to sit in a community, be about the community.
Mm-hmm. Amen to that. Sig, what are your closing thoughts?
Pastor Ron, I want to thank you for coming on the show. Really appreciate you. I'll be in Jersey in June. I will be there through that Monday, I think. I'm going to come to your church that Sunday.
Oh, yeah, Sig is coming from Atlanta.
First of all, nobody invited you.
Okay, you know what? The doors of the church are always open.
That's right,
No, Sig. You are not invited. You are not invited. And don't wear pants
anyway.
And don't stand anywhere near the pulpit.
I'm coming anyway.
The rules.
All right, Beth, I got to bring her.
If she sits anywhere next to you,
too.
And I know that's her, I'm going to have security just take her out.
We're going to sit on the front with my mother, so I know you're not going to do that to my mama.
We're going to sit in the front with the white lady.
I know you ain't going to do that to my mama.
Now, Pastor Ron, do you have any closing thoughts for tonight about tonight's topic?
Yeah.
Well, share with us.
I really want to say that I applaud, I commend, I graciously and humbly I'm so enthusiastic about what you sisters are doing because, I mean, the thought, the planning, what you guys put behind this to make it happen, you know, all it took is one person to change Barack's life and Barack has changed the world. All it took is one person to change Martin's life and he's changed the world. And you won't know the impact you guys have made until you get to heaven. And when you get to heaven, you see all the people that have been saved and lives have changed based on your radio show. So I am so honored and privileged to be a part of this. I'm even more honored than because I have a long-lasting relationship with Uli and because Jackie's my member. But I'm just it's so refreshing after all that we see negativity with African Americans to see some sisters doing positive stuff up and beyond their own local geography. So I'm just humbled, I'm glad, and I'm just like, go sisters, go. So I thank you for allowing me to be able to speak on the show today. Okay.
Except for
the girl that don't like people to wear pants.
You gotta stop messing with me.
You putting words in my mouth, and I'm not the one you want to toy with, Pastor. I said I don't wear pants. I will see you. Don't make me come to Jersey this weekend.
Oh,
what's my schedule like?
Don't make me send you a ticket.
Pastor Ron, send her a ticket. Call her bluff and send her a ticket.
I'll send you a ticket, boo.
Send her a ticket. But you know what, Pastor Ron?
I'll get there.
Send her a ticket.
No problem. I will
Pastor Ron, we just want to say thank
you. You keep talking. I might catch a plane down to where you are.
She's in Atlanta. Let's do this. I'm in Atlanta.
Where?
Let's do this.
Atlanta. My weather better than yours
beach,
right now.
I go down to Atlanta, beat you up, and be back to Jersey in 4 hours.
All right. You guys can meet up behind
up
the scenes.
Get back to Jersey.
You guys can meet up behind the scenes. But, Pastor Ron, we just, again, want to thank you for being our special guest tonight. We really appreciate
you
calling in and sharing with us. And we definitely want to have you back on the Every Woman Talk Show. So thank you to our callers and listeners for tuning in and liking us on Facebook and just for giving us love. And we also want to let you know that next week our topic is keeping the dream alive and not just in February. So the Shadow World family is doing it big, you guys. The Game Strong Sports Talk Show is straight with Trey Davis. It's Monday night at 8 p.m. We have the Man Up Talk Show every Friday night at 8 p.m. where the men go in on various topics. Of course, we have the Every Woman Talk Show here every Tuesday night, ladies' night at 7 p.m. And we have a brand new show on deck, the Relationship Show, which just premiered this past Sunday at 8 p.m. We also want to remind everybody to please support the Cancer Awareness event this Saturday, February 22nd at Science High School in Newark. And don't forget the relay on June 14th. Pastor Ron, the Every Woman Talk Show, we're going to be out there running. Uli and Jackie are going to be on the track singing my song,
no,
of course.
I'm not.
It's at Shabazz High School. But, you know, Jackie will give you all the information to fill in. She'll fill you in on all the information, all the topics, of course. But, listen, you guys, we want to leave you with an inspirational thought tonight. In his essay of the Faith of the Fathers, W.E.B. Du Bois described the preacher as a man who found his function as the healer of the sick, the interpreter of the unknown, the comforter of the sorrowing, and the supernatural avenger of wrong. So we may not all be preachers in a formal church structure, and we may not all attend a formal church structure, but our lifestyles, be it social media or our day-to-day interactions with people, minister to others. So we have to ask ourselves, do our words and our actions heal the sick, comfort our brother and sister, or ones that feel sorrow, or does it avenge the wrong? So we want to leave you with that. We just want to thank you again for tuning in. We want to say goodnight. God bless. And we'll catch you guys next week, next Tuesday night here, 7 p.m. Don't miss it. Pastor Ron, we love you. You'll see a few of us very soon. Good night, guys. God bless.
Love you, Pastor Ron. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Oh, you can my contact information.
I sure will.
I'm a realist.
You are a realist masquerading as a cynic who is secretly an optimist.
Radio.